Hello and welcome to Queens of the Neighbourhood, the podcast, episode 2. Myself, that's Francis, aka Blab, and Leia Tess will be talking about a number of different topics in this podcast, from the guitars that we use to our songwriting process, to just a lot of talk about Lily Allen for no particular reason other than the fact that she's absolutely great. Do follow us on Instagram if you enjoy the podcast. It's at Queens of the NBHD, and we hope you enjoy. So we've got Leia in the room today.
Hello.
And then you've got myself.
Who are you? Because you haven't actually...
Who am I? Now that's a... Do we really want to get into this on a Tuesday afternoon?
You haven't actually been introduced yet, so...
No.
I'll introduce you.
Okay, go on.
Because last week Laura and I spoke about you.
Yes,
you did. Yeah. So this is the one and only Frances Murray, otherwise known as Blab Sounds.
Just Blab, but Blab Sounds.
No, because your social media is Blab Sounds.
My social media is Blab Sounds, but Blab is the,
okay.
Typeface.
Apologies.
That's okay.
We have Blab, B-L-A-B,
Blab,
yeah. With no sounds.
Because I'm also Blab Sounds, but I'm also Blab FM.
It's very confusing, guys.
It is very confusing. I'm a very confusing character.
She's quite cool because she's...
Thank you.
She's got a lot of tattoos. She's got pink hair.
Wonderful.
She wears Vans and she's in a lot of stripes today.
I am. I'm clashing patterns. I'm clashing colours.
She wears a lot of black and yellow like a bee because she stings.
Yeah. Did you see them green trousers I bought?
No.
Have you not seen them?
Why would I see
them? Let me show
trousers?
You them on Instagram.
So, I did see that you matched with the zebra crossing the other day.
The zebra crossing? When did I match with a zebra
you
crossing?
You said you posted on Instagram or something and I saw it.
Oh, I did. That was it. No, I was wearing yellow. I was at work. That was it. I was at work and I had like yellow on. And I was like, when you're matching with a work car park. This is the green trousers. You must have seen the green trousers. So.
Oh, yeah, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, for anyone that doesn't know, I bought this pair of green trousers. I don't know why you would know, because I don't know why anyone would be kind of keeping up with my kind of trouser purchasing.
Because you have so many fans.
Too many fans, mate. Too many fans. So, yeah, I bought these green trousers, and they were dividing opinions. It was a big talk. All across the globe, just lots of people getting irate about the trousers. What we wanted to chat about was where Queens of the Neighbourhood came from. So Leia approached me because we're very good friends.
It's funny, isn't it? The word approach.
And because she likes to pester me quite a lot when we were at uni.
That is so rude. Not once have I pestered you.
She comes up and she just pokes me.
No, Fran said that she was scared of me.
I wasn't scared of you. You're just quite an intimidating character.
I'm just not, though. Everyone is scared of me, to be fair. Even dogs.
You've just got resting bitch face, big time.
Yeah, but, like, that's just my face.
I know it is, but you're just like, I don't know.
Do you know what it is? I'm scared of everything else, so I put on a face. No, that is what it is.
It's like that thing with spiders. They always say spiders are just as scared as...
Because I'm scared of situations, so then I get a bit... Like, sometimes I get a bit shy or nervous, and then I, like, get all serious. That's, like, more what it is. But then people are more scared of me.
Of course.
But sometimes I just don't like people and then I just make a face.
Tune in to find out what Leia's opinion is on me as a human being and whether she does want to murder me or whether she thinks
I'm
right.
Fran, I wouldn't ask you to come to Edinburgh if I wanted to murder you.
That's very true. It might just be a very elaborate plot, though. hopefully it's not. Hopefully you've got more stuff to do with your day than that.
Maybe this will turn into a murder mystery.
We're doing a murder mystery podcast series, guys.
That would be quite fun.
Oh my god, it'd be great.
Okay, we've gone off on too big of a
tangent. Let's get back on topic. So yeah, what I was going to say was about how Queens of Stone Age are a great band, guys. You should listen to Queens of Stone Age. They're brilliant. Josh Homme is a legend.
Oh, no
swear. No swear words. Let's bleep that out. I can bleep that out.
Bleep.
With the power of technology. Yeah, so kind of came about, I wanted to put on an event for International Women's Day. So there's this place in Archway called the Northern Soul Bar, which a few of our friends, Andy Hamilton, if anyone knows Andy Hamilton, big up. That's a very creaky chair you've got there, my love.
I know. I love Andy.
Andy's great. So basically Andy's great. Andy is, just an absolute legend. Big up Andy. He was putting some open mic nights on there and I said, oi, mate. Can I have that number of that bloke who runs that venue so I can put on my own events? And I did, and I got chatting to the bloke and I decided to put on an event there. The event was called Queens of the Neighbourhood, and the reason why it was called Queens of the Neighbourhood is because there is a Bikini Kill song
Now, if anyone knows anything about the kind of history of women in punk music, or just punk music in general, or kind of weird Nirvana facts that you might just know off the top of your head. Yeah, Bikini Kill was a riot girl band, so feminist punk bands that formed in the kind of early 90s, late 80s time. And they've got one of their most popular songs is called Rebel Girl. And the first line is, that girl thinks she's the queen of the neighbourhood. And it's kind of like a kind of shout out to a girl song. Some people have interpreted it to be like an LGBTQ kind of like power anthem about like female love, like that. But it can be interpreted in many different ways. But yeah, so I've discovered Bikini Kill when one of my lecturers at college told me to watch the documentary The Punk Singer, which is about the lead singer Kathleen Hanna's journey through music and her finding her voice and finding her political voice. And yeah, I kind of thought it was quite an apt name for the evening. And then Leia approached me saying,
"By the way, that sounded like I just coughed to be mentioned, but I just had a frog in my
throat."
Just
like, "I'm still here, Francis. No, please stop talking."
No, Francis can talk for England. I've just eaten a lot of nuts, so I need to clear my throat.
We were eating a lot of nuts, and then Leia had this weird packet of olives as well. And yeah, it was a bit, we didn't know what was going on. Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
That's what I was saying. So, yeah, so basically Leia approached me and said, "Look, I want to do this thing at the Fringe." And I was like, "Well, why don't we just call it that? Because that's the... that's a great name for it, and I'd love to do more stuff that ties in with that."
Are you a feminist?
I am a feminist, yeah.
Why
am I a feminist? Because I believe that everyone should be treated equally, and that qualities that are typical of women should not be viewed as weaknesses across all the sexes. So, you know, being emotionally vulnerable should not be viewed as a weakness in men.
And it's that.
And that is to do with feminism as well.
Feelings should not be gendered.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you, Leia, because we went to Paris, didn't we?
We did.
Me and you, on a romantic holiday.
I know, I was about to say that. I was like, that's what it sounds
yeah,
like.
Yeah, totally.
So, yeah, we did. Why did we go there?
Why did we go to Paris, Leia?
You tell me.
I will tell you right now. We went to Paris because through our university there was this international songwriting competition. And myself, you, a lovely girl called Lucia.
I love her.
J-Hook's Music and
Alfie
Mehmet were chosen out of... was it about 10, 15 people, something like that?
What do you mean in total?
From our university, yeah.
So no, it was four of us.
No, but like the auditioned.
Oh, right.
So yeah, so that got through to the round was like 15 or 14 or something people, and then us...
There were loads of us in that audition room, yeah.
Yeah, us lot got picked, so basically we got to go and perform one of our songs in Paris at a kind of partner institution... over there, which was an amazing experience. And Leia over here, because she's so bloody clever and because she's so great at the songs and that, she gone and won it, didn't she? She only gone and bloody won the damn show, didn't you?
I did.
She did. So she did, yeah. So tell us more about that and what your prize was.
So
apart from a big hug and a beer from me.
Yeah, so I won it, much to my surprise, genuinely. And then I was like, because I've never really won anything. Ever. So that was cool, and I won it with Riccardo, who was, he's actually Italian, but he was a guy from Atla, and he was so sweet. Anyway, so I went to Paris, the prize was going to Paris, and recording my song, Oblivion, which I'd actually already recorded.
But now you've just got an alternative recording.
Yeah, so now I've got this alternative recording of it, which is actually completely different to the original one, which is quite interesting, that you can, how you can change a song.
So how does the, describe us... For those who haven't heard, what the original recording sounds like, and then how you kind of changed that with the recording you did at Atla with the guys.
So the original recording is quite like melancholic and folky.
Yeah.
And like acoustic and quite stripped back, and the one we did in Paris, I wasn't that keen on making it really rock and roll, but everyone else was. I felt like I didn't actually have a lot of control, like creative control over it, which kind of annoyed me, but. It was obviously like a great opportunity, and it was really fun working with different people. And the band were great because like they all suggested things, and then we all worked together, and then there was like seven of us in a room. And I'd never done a live recording like that, so that was interesting.
Oh, so did you track it live?
Yeah,
I didn't realise that
it was live.
So oh, that's brilliant.
It's completely different. It's hard to describe, but there's a lot going on in this one.
Are you planning on releasing that maybe even as like a B-side or something to single?
I might do, yeah, but I have got another song that I want to release before that,
and I've just heard it and it is very, very good.
Thanks. But so then, is yours.
Thank you. But then what you just played me just then sounded like a little bit more rocky. I was just saying it sounds like PJ Harvey.
Yeah,
because I've been listening to PJ Harvey today. So
I've been listening to PJ Harvey. But yeah, it was a really fun experience, and I haven't actually heard the finalised track because they made some more changes, so yeah, they haven't even sent it to me yet. But then I'll release it, yeah, for sure. Moving on, I'm going to ask Fran questions about her songwriting process. So for you, do you pick up your guitar, or do you like think of something? I know you have a notebook, like what's your process?
With my ideas, I just collect things. So I collect little phrases or I collect little melodies. So a lot of the time I'll be on the bus or in the car or whatever, and I'll sing something in my head and I'll quickly record it down, and then turn it into something. And I think for me it's just a lot about piecing things together. But I try and make it quite conversational. I'm a big fan of Mike Skinner from The Streets. He's just a very good lyricist, and what's important about his lyrics is that he speaks about everything from such an honest point of view, and it's completely unfiltered. It's like it's coming directly from his head onto the page or into the mic, you know. So I try and emulate kind of some of that within my lyrics. What kind of inspirations do you get from lyrics? Do you write things down? Do you free write? What kind of stuff do you do?
I also have a notes thing on my phone, so I write a lot of random song titles. So yeah. I have like a list of that. But the biggest thing I do most of the time with any song I've ever written is just grab my guitar, come up with a riff, or come up with something that I think sounds quite cool, and then I'll just play it like four times, then something will just come to me lyrically. So for me, it's always like the harmony that comes first, or just something like a little riff on guitar. It's very rarely a lyric that comes first.
So you have to kind of physically be sitting there with a guitar to think of the song.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I don't think I've ever written a song where I've just... No, maybe two songs or one I've written just from like humming a tune or like saying a line.
I think what's different as well is because your songs, your style and genre is like kind of different to mine. With my writing, when I write riffs, like guitar riffs, sometimes I will sing them in my head beforehand. Because I'm quite melodically driven.
I would never do that.
I would like to, like, the riff for Casual Sex, I sung in my head before I played it, and I was like, oh my god, I've got to find a guitar and get that out of me now.
Yeah, that is interesting, because
it's
interesting how people have such different ways of working and minds, because that's also why it's good to co-write, isn't it? With different people, because then you like change your ways a bit.
It forces you into a different box, but. I think you've done more co-writing than I have, if I'm not mistaken.
I've done a bit. I'd like to do a lot more.
Yeah.
I also feel like it's difficult to write with someone that's totally not your style. Like, isn't it? But then it's also a good thing.
The thing is, I get what you mean, but then I also think it's more to do with, like, you as a human. Because I feel like, though me and you don't necessarily have the same musical genre that we write within... I feel like we could write quite well together. I don't know why.
Should we write one together?
We've never written. We should write together. Yeah, okay. That's a pact. It's on tape now, so...
We're pinky promising.
We're pinky promising right now.
Okay, that's happening. Talking of Casual Sex.
Yes.
that's confusing. Talking of your song...
It's like Jeremy Kyle, isn't it? I thought they cancelled all that.
Talking of your song, Casual Sex. So Fran has a lot of controversial, we could call them, songs. Blunt and honest lyrics. Tell us about that song and what inspired you to write it, and if it's if you think it was like a feminist thing, or how you think it'd be different from if a man was to write a song like that.
I don't ever really think of my songs like, oh, I'm gonna write a feminist song about being a woman, or like, and I don't even particularly, if you just take the lyrics for that song objectively, I don't think it's an inherently political song. it's just a song that is descriptive.
What's the hook line?
Casual sex makes me feel depressed.
That could be anyone.
That could be anyone. And also, like, when I speak about it, I think what more makes it a political statement is the context surrounding the song. So the fact that I'm a young woman who is liberated both kind of with my opinions and my appearance and my sexuality, that in itself is a political statement. And because I'm the one talking about that, I am the one that's narrating that song, that's where it becomes a kind of socio-political issue. That's where it becomes like a feminist issue. Because, you know, like you said, yeah. So, for example, if a bloke was singing that song, I don't think it'd necessarily be as controversial.
No, yeah, but why?
Because men in music talk about sex in a more descriptive way like that, whereas it's not even a vulgar way, because I don't even feel like the song's particularly vulgar, it's just very blunt. Like, I feel like when women have the narrative in a kind of sexual context within music, it's usually because they're being sexualized, or there's some kind of like, it has to be like super empowering, and then that's a kind of vessel, like Little Mix or like Ariana Grande or something.
That's what I think is cool about your songs as well, because they're kind of like powerful and like to be a woman, but they're not sexual to like a nature where you're trying to be like, oh, look at me type.
No,
of thing. Do you know
yeah.
what I mean? They're just honest and like, yeah. I think that's quite different from how other people like poppy songs where they're just
yeah.
like degrading themselves, and it's just like the opposite of feminist.
The thing is, it's everything is case by case, obviously, and like you can't necessarily kind of completely judge everything, but at the same time, it's like the fact is that men talk about sex in that way more often, you know. And for me, it's not even like I wanted to write a song talking about sex, it's I had an idea and that kind of prompted me to speak in the way I usually do, which is in an honest and blunt way that's reflective of how I feel.
How do you think it compares writing as like a woman to a man in terms of music and being honest, like with those kinds of lyrics?
Well, I think especially this is why I kind of wanted to write that song when I had that phrase in my head, because I was like genuinely trying to think about how many songs that I knew by female artists that talked about sex in that kind of way. And there aren't, is the fact, because even within kind of punk, really, obviously you've got Bikini Kill and you've got like the Slits and you've got various other different punk bands, but at the moment in the kind of current climate of music, you've not got anyone who's kind of saying that. And I always try and write music that I would want to hear. Like what I want to hear is a woman talking honestly about her emotions as a kind of liberated woman and as a woman navigating being a young woman. That's really convoluted what I've just said, but you know what I mean. Like I want the real tea. I don't want some kind of like, oh, I'm in love with a boy and he's really nice and oh my god, love and sunshine and rainbows. Like, F that, for want of a better phrase. Like,
a lot of songs are about that.
Yeah, and the thing is as well, like when I say that, like, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, I listen to stuff like that all the time. Like, I think Taylor Swift's great, you know, genuinely. I think a lot of Taylor Swift's early work is mega, and her songs are really well written, but it's just it doesn't speak to me and my kind of experience of life as a kind of as an angry person, as a person who's angry about a lot of things. It doesn't, you know, I don't feel like it resonates with my experience of the world.
And moving on from that, earlier we were talking about Lily Allen, who writes really blunt and honest lyrics. And you know her song, Hard Out Here?
Yeah.
And obviously the hook line is, it's hard out here for a bitch.
Mm.
Bleep. But the reason that that's interesting is because she kind of reverses the meaning of, well, tries to like reinvent the word bitch by like turning it into something powerful.
Yeah.
So she's like, do you know what I mean? It's quite clever.
I think it's like, it's just kind of, it's quite tongue-in-cheek. This is what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about it in like a light-hearted way. Like, isn't this a bit crap, you know? Mm. Like, but I think, I was just saying before as well, I've just finished reading Lily Allen's book, and again, like, she's someone who I admire greatly within, you know, songwriting and just her as a character in the music industry, because she's just so honest. Like, she's so honest about everything, and, you know, whether that's like her personal life or like the treatment she's had in the music industry by various different people, and like her sexuality and her alcohol and drug problems, like, she's just super honest. And you just like, for a woman who is a figure within pop to be that honest is very rare.
Mm.
So I think that's why, like, I massively look up to her. So you've got a few different guitars, haven't you? You've got your kind of more classical guitar, and I remember when we asked you about it, a few people at uni, myself and a few others, you were saying that you didn't really know like where it came from, what it was, you just played it and that was it. And I kind of like that.
You mean that I use a classical guitar?
Yeah, because you just use a classical guitar for some reason.
Mm. And there's not really a reason, is there? Because I know. Yeah.
And you don't play classical guitar, but
it's just a very pretty guitar.
It is, and I think your guitar is really cool. But you bought a guitar when you were in Nashville, didn't you? So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, I bought a guitar in Marston. It's called Carter. That's the name of the shop, and it was just a really cheap secondhand Marston. I think it was $360.
That's brilliant.
Which is virtually nothing for a Marston. I mean, I was looking for secondhand ones in London. It was like £800 or something. It's like something still ridiculous.
Yeah.
But actually, I realised how much difference it makes to have a different sounding guitar, because the Martin's actually is a much brighter sound. I much prefer it. It just suits my style more, I think.
I think a lot of people don't really think about that. I can't remember, I think it was an interview I was watching with Laurie from Slaves, and he was saying like that as he's kind of become a better guitar player and progressed, he's kind of thinks about the way actual guitars sound rather than the way they look, because every different guitar that you've got out there has a different sound, and like, that's something that you shouldn't underestimate, and you can really kind of manipulate.
Actually, the best thing to do would definitely be to play blindfolded.
Because
you're so blindsided by the look of the guitar, because if it's a really nice guitar, you're like, oh my god, it's so pretty, or like, looks so good.
Do you practice blindfolded? Like, do you practice with your eyes closed?
Have you?
Yeah, I practice guitar with my eyes closed.
Sometimes. I mean, I play with my eyes closed, though. I rarely look at my hands.
Actually,
yeah. I don't know. I do.
No, you do. I've noticed that you don't really look at your hands when you play the guitar.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's great, though. But, like, that's something that I've had to develop, because for about 2 years, I played the guitar and I wasn't very confident in my guitar playing, so I was kind of quite hunched over and looking at the chords quite a lot of the time. But it's only really within the past year that I've kind of been able to play and be a bit more open with my posture and everything.
That just comes with practice, though, and confidence.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So, Leia.
Yeah.
What songs, albums? I don't know if you're an album person. Are you an album person?
I'm not
an album person. Okay.
I get bored quite easily.
Oh, see, I love an album, man.
So I've got The Ship by Incredible Polo. Mahil? I don't get which one's the album, not. But my favourite one is Oh La La, Blanco White.
So it's quite a cool time signature as well going on. There's something, I don't know, not a time signature, there's just something like rhythmically a bit interesting about that.
Is rhythmically interesting, like right at the beginning. It's interesting when you listen to music, as being a music student, you actually, you're analysing everything.
You're picking it apart.
No one else thinks like that at all when they're listening to music.
No, yeah.
So, Fran, what have you been listening to?
I've been listening to a band called Preoccupations, who are kind of like post-punky, indie stuff, right up my street. Yeah, they've just got some really interesting songs. There's this one song called Anxiety, and it's got like a really nice synth lead. Everything's very 80s, very kind of Joy Division and Jesus and the Mary Chain inspired. Mm-hmm. Kind of that's where my heart is at the moment with music. But
lovely.
Yeah, kind of contrast to that though. So I've been listening to that. I've been listening to all of their albums. And I've been listening to Stankonia, the album by Outkast. It's got Miss Jackson on. It's got that song on and it's got So Fresh and Clean. And yeah, just a mate told me to listen to it. And I was like, because I think I said something about Andre 3000 when we were chatting. And he just messaged me like, yeah, you should go and listen to that album. And I did. And I was just like, what? How have I never listened to that before?
Sometimes there are people or artists that you just let you listen to their songs and just clicks.
Yeah, that totally was one for me. It was, yeah. Yeah.
I've recently, my friends booked tickets to go and see this artist called Lissy. She's like a country rock folk singer. Okay. And we saw her play at the Isle of Wight Festival a few years ago. And she's playing in London. And I love her songs. Like, I love all of them. And there's one called When I'm Alone. And it's really good. Listen to it. I think that brings our podcast for this week
pretty
to
much,
an end.
Yeah, pretty much.
Tune in next week because we're going to be releasing them weekly. We'll get different people on. We're going to try and interview some interesting women.
Since we've been chatting about her a lot, our woman of the week this week is, drum roll please, Lily Allen, because she's just a legend.
And we're going to get her on.
Oh God, I don't know. If she comes on, that'd be great. I'd be totally about that.
You'd probably fall to the floor.
I'd be dead cool.
Would you?
You know me, cool as a cucumber. I'd be fine. I'd be like, oi, you all right? How are you?
No, you wouldn't. I think you'd get
no.
the
no, I'm super cool. I've had many, like, low-key interactions, none of which I can name at this time, obviously, because they're all exclusive people.
Rubbish.
But no, I'm super cool. I'd be fine. I'd just be like, yeah, you all right, Lily? What did you have for dinner last night? Should we go for a pint after this?
I don't believe you, Fran. I'll believe it when I see it. But anyway, thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
If you want to follow us and follow our journey to the fringe, then please like our Facebook page, which is...
So it's Queens of the Neighbourhood. So is the Instagram.
Yeah.
Which is, we've now got Instagram.
And just to reiterate, our other two gals are Laura Goldthorpe and Jess Simmons.
They are
so check them out because they're super great. You've been listening to...
Queens of the Neighbourhood, the podcast.